Thank you, everybody. It's really so great. Let me move my furniture here to be with you, to be sharing. Anytime that there's an opportunity to share God's word, I just count it really as a privilege. It's just great to be here. Love you guys. I hope you're having a really good morning. You know, a little disclosure. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when you're preparing for something, you kind of wonder about what the outcome is going to be like. And as I was preparing, you know, it takes a few hours to prepare a message. This thought comes in my head, like, well, what if nobody shows up? And I said, Lord, what if nobody shows up? And there was a silence. And God said, don't worry about it. I'll bring the people here who should be here this morning. And I said, okay. So here you are. So I'm really glad to see you all this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, your word says that you are a light unto our life and you are a light unto our feet. I pray, God, that you would lead us this morning and show us the way that we should walk according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in a series titled Love Does, as you've seen that we've been promoting, that's focused on the actions that we take to show what God's love looks like to people around us. What does God's love look like to people around us? So today I want to talk to you about being a light to your world in small ways that make a difference. In Matthew 5, Jesus said this about our identity, which is one of our mission markers, who we are in Christ. He said this about our identity. He said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand so that it gives everyone, so it gives light to everyone in the house. You can live your life in small things and to do small things for other people that are sending a message of light to those around you. More than just your words, more than just what you say, people every day are watching what you do and how you live, how you respond to other people, how consistent you are, how you go out each day with a smile on your face. When you're kind to other people, when you're in a good mood, when you're doing things for other people, that's one of the best witnesses you could possibly have. Do you know that? Most of the time, our actions speak much louder and different than just our words alone. You've heard it said, preach the good news. Use words when necessary. The scripture says Jesus did good by teaching, healing, feeding, comforting people. His whole lifestyle was his message. You see, your life and the small things you do every day is your message to other people. The scripture says in Acts, we will receive power to be witnesses. To be witnesses. It doesn't say to witness. To witness always looks to straighten people out or to tell people what they're doing wrong. No, the real power to be a witness is when people see that your life is a witness. In the way that you're living your life, the integrity that you live for Jesus day in and day out, when you have contentment that's friendly, you're good-natured, caring, you're shining your light to other people. It has greater impact than what you think. You can quote scripture all day long. You can come to church when it's every time the doors are open. You can put the praise music on in your car when you're on your way to work. But if you complain about your boss, you backbite your coworkers, you get upset with people in traffic and say harsh words to other drivers as you're driving along, it'll override the scriptures that you memorized. I've heard it said, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. When I moved to San Jose from L.A. in the 1970s, I was used to people driving very much more aggressively down there. And I was a fairly new Christian. I had a Jesus bumper sticker on my van, on my Volkswagen van, and it was cool. It was cool. I thought it was so radical to have a Jesus message on my car. Right? It said, "Honk if you love Jesus." Does anybody remember that bumper sticker? It's real. I'm not making this up. People would honk and that they'd wave, and I'd say, praise the Lord to them. I was letting my light shine through my vehicle. But I soon realized when someone would cut me off or they were driving too slow that I was yelling things and I was making hand signals to them. That was contrary to what was on my bumper. I felt so convicted by my behavior that rather than change my behavior, I removed the bumper sticker. I'm just being transparent, okay? And I haven't put one on my car since, in case I've misbehaved. What am I saying? When you say you're a Christian, until you let your light shine, until you have a loving approach, an accepting approach to other people, no one around you will see what it is to really be a Christian. Do you know that? They just won't know it. Love does by practicing out loud the small things we say we believe. I'm going to repeat that because that's a deep thing. Love does by practicing out loud the small things we say we believe. Parents, you can tell your children, be kind, be respectful all day long. But if they see you being disrespectful, not treating people right, they'll do as you do. It's like the mother who invited some friends over for dinner. At the table, she turned to her little 5-year-old daughter and said, "Honey, would you like to say the blessing tonight?" And the little girl replied, "Well, I don't know what to say." And the mom says, "Well, just say what you hear mommy say." So the little girl bowed her head and said, "Oh, Lord, why did I invite these people to dinner?" Yeah. People know what you believe by what they see you do. Yeah. Most people around you, your coworkers, your neighbors, the people where you shop, they aren't reading their Bibles. They're reading your life. They may never come to church or watch a Christian program, but they're watching how you live, and they can see your light if it's on a lampstand burning brightly. I want to share 3 points on how we can let our light shine in small things that will really make a difference. Sorry, I'm ahead of my slides. Here we go. The first point is, as the light of the world, shine in the darkness. As the light of the world, shine in the darkness. The scripture says we're not to hide our light, but to put it on display, to put it on a lampstand for everyone to see. We come to church each week to get our batteries recharged. We get filled up. We get encouraged. We grow. We learn. But the real assignment begins when we leave here. When we come to church, there's plenty of light here. Most of us are believers. Our light is powerful because we love one another. But our light has an even greater effect outside of these walls. A much greater effect. It's like this young boy. His father gave him a new flashlight, and he went outside on a bright sunny day. He turned on the flashlight. He's shining it around. You can see anything. He said, "Dad, it doesn't work. Something's wrong with it." His dad said, "No, son, it's fine. It wasn't designed to work in the light. It was made to work in the darkness. That's when you'll see what it can really do." Too often, we just complain about the darkness, right? We say, "I don't like this job. these people are so negative. They use bad language all the time. They tell coarse jokes. It just bothers me. Nobody here has a good attitude. Let me ask you, why do you think God put you, he put you there? People don't need more light in the right places. There's an opportunity for your light to shine in all the wrong places. When you hear people complaining about the company, you say, yeah, it's really lousy around here. I hate this place. I can't stand this job. Or you change the temperature of the conversation by saying, well, it's not perfect, but I'm grateful that I have a job. Or I'm thankful that I can come to work each day. Your light can change a situation from cold to warmer if you'll put it on a lampstand. The religious people in Jesus' day didn't like Jesus associating with what they considered to be the wrong kind of people. Right? They didn't understand the principle that Jesus did, that light is the most effective in dark places. Because Jesus let his light shine in the darkness, many of those sinners, the wrong kind of people, became followers. Sometimes we think, God, keep me away from anyone that's struggling with a bad habit, with addictions, with anger issues, with all sorts of other problems. Lord, deliver me from my in-laws. Remember, Jesus said it's the sick who need a doctor, not the healthy. God will bring people across your path who need your light. We don't know. Some people may be on their dying bed, and God will reveal himself through the light that you shined on them. Something small you did for them in the past, an act of kindness, a listening ear, being hopeful. Only God knows the effect your light has on someone in darkness. Only God knows the effect of your light on someone in darkness. You cannot be the judge of what God will do when you shine your light. Don't put so much responsibility on yourself. There's a poem I heard called Heaven's Surprise. It goes something like this. I was shocked, bewildered, and confused when I entered heaven's door, not by its beauty, nor its lights, nor its decor. It was the people in heaven that made me sputter and gasp, the sinners, the cheaters, the liars, and the trash. There stood the kid from second grade that stole my lunch money twice. Next to him was my neighbor, who never said anything nice. Herb, who I thought would be rotting in hell, was sitting on cloud nine, doing quite well. I asked Jesus, what's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How did all these sinners get up here? Must have been a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Jesus said, it's because they're all in shock. They never thought they'd be seeing you. You cannot be the judge of what God will do in others when you love them and you shine your light in small ways. Can you say amen? Amen. Are you willing to overlook some flaws, not focusing on what others aren't doing or what they're doing wrong, and instead showing a little mercy? Be a light in someone's life, a positive influence to somebody, a difference maker. After all, if it had not been for the grace of God, you could be them. It's as simple as that. Somebody shined some light in your life. Somebody helped you get to where you are today. Somebody overlooked some flaws. Somebody showed you some mercy. So why not pass it on in the same way? Pass the light on that's been so generously given to you. That's how you shine your light in the darkness. And that's what love does. The next point, the second point, is that as the light of the world, shine by serving others. these points that I'm making are not big points. They're points that if you've been a believer for a while, you've heard. I'm trying to speak them in terms of being accessible to you. Just take some small steps. It makes a big difference to people. A big difference. This one is shining by serving others. Jesus said, but among you, that is, followers, it will be different. Whoever wants to be great among you, he's talking about a principle of greatness in the kingdom. He said, you must be your servant. We must serve other people. This is one of the biggest secrets in life to experience fulfillment here on earth. If you want to understand the Father's measure, what is great in the kingdom, if you want a life filled with his presence, you need to let your light shine by serving other people. He wasn't talking about an event that takes place every once in a while. He was talking about a lifestyle where you live to help others. You're always looking for ways to serve. You're helping a friend who's in need. You're volunteering to assist a coworker to solve a problem. You take care of a relative who's ill. Being a light isn't something you force yourself to do. It becomes a part of who you are. When you say, what small things can I do to lighten someone's load? You're helping your neighbor cut the lawn. You're driving your friend's kids to soccer. Or you're watching someone's kids so that they can have a night off. That service is your light on a hill. You don't have to feel like Mother Teresa to serve someone. God can use your small acts for his purpose. But where your heart is, that is important. I heard about this man that was at an airline ticket counter. He was yelling and screaming at the agent, being rude, being obnoxious. The agent was just as calm and collected and polite as can be. She treated him respectfully, like it didn't even bother her. He left, and the next man stepped up and said, wow, I was so impressed. You must be a Christian. How could you possibly be so kind to him? She just smiled and said, oh, it wasn't that hard. See, he's going to Detroit, but his bags are going to Bangkok. What's my point? God can use your small acts of service. But where your heart is with God, that does matter. It does matter as a believer. Here's the key. When you serve, don't look for people to pay you back. People may not say thank you to you. You know that, right? You may not get credit for what you deserve. Nobody may be giving you any applause. But let me assure you, when you serve others, there's an applause in heaven for you, because service is greatness in the kingdom. Service is greatness. See, every act of kindness, he sees you spending time with someone who's ill, someone who's in the hospital. He sees you helping set up tables here on Sunday morning. He sees you getting your neighbor to their doctor appointment on your day off. I'm convinced that if we would have this service mentality, more of our marriages would stay together. If you start serving your wife or serving your husband, you'd see that marriage move to the next level. I heard about this guy. He was bragging to all his buddies about how he was the head of the family, head of the house. He said, yeah, I run things around my house. Just about that time, his wife walks up and he said, yeah, I run the vacuum. I run the dishwasher. I run the dryer. That person's actually me. So I could say this. I could say this is a personal testimony. What am I saying? Let your light shine by serving in small ways. That makes up a whole lifestyle, a lifestyle of serving. You're never too important. You are never too busy to be good, just to be good to someone. You're never too high to where you can't bow down low and serve somebody else. My last point is how we can let our light shine in small ways that make a difference. And that is, as a light of the world, shine by encouraging others. The scripture says in Romans 15:2, it says that those who are stronger in faith, that is you, who are stronger in faith, shouldn't be thinking about their own welfare, but let each of us please his neighbor for his or her good, to build him up. That's what we should be doing, building one another up. Being the light of the world means you build people up by encouraging them. It means that you're investing your light into others for their good. You're looking for ways to bring out the best in someone. You're giving them advice. You're speaking faith into them. You're building up their confidence, challenging them to become strong and of good courage in the things of daily life. I find that we all need a boost of encouragement. If we need a little push every now and then, there's somebody who should be around us to help give us the push that we need. That's what God created us to be. Who are those people that are in your life today? Notice what their gifts are. What excites them? Look for their strengths and then encourage them in those areas. Many times we see things in others that they can't even see in themselves. A simple compliment, a word of praise to them, is a shining light of God's kindness. Do you know that? Simple. Simple. We just have to practice these things. In Romans 2, the scripture says, we're not to ignore the kindness and patience of God in dealing with others. It's that kindness of the Lord that you shine on others that leads a person to repentance. They're going this way in their life. There's something you do, something you say, some examples you give, and that something happens. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gets somebody to going this way, to start going this way. It leads people to repentance when you're loving to them, when you give them grace. It changes their thinking. We're not called the light of the world to draw out the worst in people, to judge them harshly, to tell them that they can't do anything right. That's not your job. The disciple Peter was kind of rough around the edges. He had a hot temper. He used foul language. Matthew, he was a tax collector. He lived in a world where it was selfish and there was a lot of dishonest gain involved. He took advantage of people. Jesus was so great. He didn't focus on people's faults. He didn't look what they didn't have, how wrong they were, how much better he was. He saw them for what they could become, not what they were at the moment. And that's the way he sees you today. Did you know that? Praise God for that. I read where 75% of people that are in prison right now were told by their parents or by people who raised them that one day they would be in prison. They planted a seed, but the problem is it was the wrong seed. They believed in the worst about someone, and they helped to draw out the worst with their words. While the world spreads words of discouragement, as the light of the world, you are called to openly encourage other people. I wonder what would have happened if somebody would have taken the time to tell these prisoners as kids, you are so smart. You're going to be a great doctor one day. You can be a great businessman. You have talent with music. You can be an awesome musician. I can see it in you. You're the next great teacher. You've got what it takes. You ever wonder that? It's powerful. No matter who you are, every one of us can use the light of encouragement. I heard about this mother. One Sunday morning, she went into her son's bedroom. She said, son, wake up. It's time to go to church. He kind of groaned and he rolled over and said, mom, no, I'm not going to church today. She said, what do you mean you're not going to church? Why not? He said, mom, I'll give you two good reasons. Number one, I don't like those people. Number two, they don't like me. She said, well, what kind of a reason is that? She said, I'll give you two better reasons. why you should go. She said, number one, you're 59 years old. Number two, you're the pastor. Every person, everyone, needs to be valued. Everyone needs to be appreciated. Every person needs a light of encouragement to keep going. So let me ask you a question today. What light are you shining in your child, or in your spouse, or in your friend, or in your coworker? Are you believing in anyone to do great things by faith and letting them know that you're believing for them? Are you taking an interest to see how you can build them up with a simple vote of confidence? I'm for you. I believe in you. God believes in you. Really, every one of us should be someone else's number one fan. We should be encouraging them, lifting them up when they're fallen, celebrating when they succeed, praying when they're struggling, urging them forward. That's what it means to shine light into the world around you. That's what love does. If you agree with me, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sean, can you come up? It's a short message, but short and sweet. Amen. Amen. Church, you can shine your very best and brightest in the dark. You can shine by serving other people in small ways, and you can shine by small words of encouragement. Big, big impact. I don't want to close without asking anybody here that would like to follow Jesus and to let him become the Lord of your life, to know him, to pray with us this morning. So let's bow our heads and pray. Can we all pray together and repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I know I've fallen short, and I've sinned in my life, and I've gone my own way. But today, I receive your forgiveness and your cleansing. Help me shine brightly by shining my light in small ways. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I just want to say, if you ask for the first time to know Jesus, to have him come into your life, after the service, we have some prayer partners up here. Just come down and just let them know. They would like to pray with you, encourage you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.